1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 13. Let's pay careful attention now to God's word to us. Therefore, and the Apostle Peter says therefore because he's just unpacked how the churches that he's been writing to, the hope that they have, the fact that they have been born again in Jesus Christ and that they've been born again to a living hope. And because of that hope, verse 13, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. And then our text this afternoon. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere and brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. So far, God's word. Let's bring this word, this living, this abiding word, before him now in prayer. Please pray with me. Gracious God, Lord, we thank you. We come before you this afternoon expectant with your word in our hands. We ask you, Lord, to work your word into our hearts this afternoon. Help us, give us anew an appreciation for the power of your word. Lord, bless the preaching of your word. The preaching that the words that come from my mouth, but the preaching also, Lord, that part of the preaching is your word coming into our hearts as well. Work in us this afternoon, we pray. We say together in Jesus' name, Amen. Well, seeds are amazing things. We've been doing a lot of walks as a family, keeping in our bubble, but we've been going out for some good long walks in the fresh air. Yesterday we went for a walk, and a part of our walk came past Victoria Park, and we saw these acorns, little acorns everywhere, boys and girls. Some of you like to collect those, and they're really quite tiny. They're about that big. Depends on how big your screen is, but they're about that big. And the amazing thing about these acorns is the size of the tree that they produce. You get this tiny little acorn and it becomes a massive tree, a big oak tree. If you look at the trees in Victoria Park, they're absolutely massive. But that huge, ginormous, big tree comes from one small acorn. All of the potential for that tree is there in that little acorn. Now, yes, it needs water, it needs nutrients from the soil, but all the material is there. That small acorn has the power to make a big tree. And this afternoon, as we look at God's word is compared to a seed. A seed that has great power. And that's our theme this afternoon. A theme for the message this afternoon, and that is this. God's word has power for life and love. God's word has power for life and love. We're going to explore verses 22 through 25 together. And the way we're going to do it is we're going to first of all look at verse 23 through to 25. We're going to look at those first, and then we're going to circle back and have a look at verse 22. And the first thing we see this afternoon is that God's word regenerates. God's word regenerates. Verse 23 says this: since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. First thing we need to ask is a question. What does it mean to be born again? Well, it means to become a new person. It means to go from death to life. It means to go from being dead in our trespasses and sins to being alive in Jesus Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul speaks about in Ephesians chapter 2. He says this in Ephesians 2 verse 1: and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Dropping down to verse 4: but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. To be born again is to be made alive by Jesus Christ, to be saved by his grace. And that means to have eternal life. To go from being perishable to imperishable. That's what the Apostle Peter says there. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. And what happens, boys and girls, I don't know if you've tried this, it's an experiment you can try. If you take the seeds that you get in the little packet and you leave them out in the open, you don't put them in soil, you leave them out in the open so the rain can get to them and the like, well, they're not going to grow. They might sprout a little bit, but eventually they'll rot. And that's a picture of every single person who is not in Jesus Christ. If we're not in Jesus Christ, we will not have eternal life. We are dead. We are rotten. We have no hope. We are destined to eternal despair. But if we're in Christ, we're imperishable. We never die. We live eternally. And that's what being born again, being made alive, being regenerated means, that we will live eternally forever. And how does that happen? How does that happen for the Apostle Peter's audience, the churches that are spread throughout the Roman world at that time? How does that happen for us? Well, verse 23 tells us, through the living and abiding word of God. The living and abiding word of God, God's word. The Holy Spirit takes God's word and implants it in our hearts. The Holy Spirit changes our hearts. But note, it's important to see that it's God's word that's being received. How do we come to Christ? Through his word. Through the message of hope, through the message of Jesus Christ, through the word that we have in our hands. Through God's word. We come through the preaching of the good word, of God's word, of the gospel, the good news preached to us. And it's that point that the Lord's Day that we're thinking about in the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 25, thinks about. We're going to say those words together this afternoon. Lord's Day 25. Give me just a second here to pop that up on screen there for you. I'm going to ask the question, and we'll all say the answer together. Brothers and sisters, you confess that by faith alone you share in Christ and all his blessings. Where does that faith come from? And let's all answer together. The Holy Spirit produces it in our hearts by the preaching of the Holy Gospel and confirms it through our use of the Holy Sacraments. God's word preached to us saves us. Through the work of the Holy Spirit uses the preaching of God's word to feed us, to nourish us. But first of all, he uses it to bring us to Jesus Christ. And that means we need to hear God's word. We should demand God's word. We don't come to church on a Sunday to hear funny stories, to laugh, to have our ears tickled, to make us simply feel good. We come to be encouraged, yes, but we also come to have God's word penetrate our hearts. We need to hear God's word. We should demand God's word from our pastor and accept nothing less. Now that's a challenge for me as a preacher. To be honest, it's a scary concept that I am charged to bring you God's very words, to bring them to you. It's humbling for me to know that God uses me to bring his powerful, precious, living and abiding word to you. Pray for me. Pray for me as I do that for you week in, week out. I need your prayers. The preaching of God's word is the way that people are saved. And it is a significant part of that, but it's not just the preaching that I do. It's God's word also spoken by all of us. How can you bring someone to Christ? By using God's word, by speaking the truth of his word, by using his word and speaking it to others. Allowing the Holy Spirit to use that word and implant it in their hearts. Speaking the very truth of God. Are you seeking to do that? To speak God's word, to use God's word. Because God uses that to bring regeneration, to bring new life to people. God's word regenerates. But it also not just brings people to know Jesus Christ, it also feeds and nourishes us. And that's why it's so important that we continue to be in his word. And there's another aspect that the Apostle Peter brings out, and that brings us to our second point this afternoon. Our second point is that God's word remains. God's word remains. Peter says that God's word is there in verse 23, he says, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. That word abiding, boys and girls, has the idea of remaining. It stays. It's not going anywhere. And the Apostle Peter unpacks an illustration with regard to that. If you have your Bibles, I hope you have your Bibles, but if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. It's entitled in my Bible, The Word of God Stands Forever. We're going to read verses 6 through 8. And these are the words that the Apostle Peter quotes. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. The Apostle Peter uses a comparison here. All flesh is like grass. What's he talking about here? What does he mean here by flesh? Well, he means us. He means human beings in their entirety. We've been reminded the last couple of days how frail we are as human beings. Here today, gone the next. We're reminded of that with this virus that has attacked our nation, but also reminded of that in the death of Harry and the death of Case. We live, we die. And after a while, no one remembers us. As one author pointed out, and it's true, we don't really know our grandparents. Now, that may not be true for you, but it's certainly true for me. I didn't have my parents as a Dutch immigrant, my grandparents growing up around me. I don't remember them. I can vaguely remember one of my grandmothers. But I never really, I met one of my grandfathers once, but I can't remember them. And I couldn't tell you about where they grew up, where they went to school, how they lived, what their lives and experiences were. Now, maybe you do know your grandparents, and I know a number of you do, boys and girls, know your grandparents. But think about your great-grandparents or your great-grandparents. I couldn't tell you their names off the top of my head. You see, the reality is that we are just like grass. You know the grass that grows in the field in the summer? It grows with great gusto and then all of a sudden it dries out and dies. And then think of the flowers that are there on the grass, says the prophet Isaiah, says the apostle Peter. Think of those flowers. They last even shorter time. And eventually they die. And then contrast that with God's word. God's word that stands forever. God's word that's not going anywhere. God's word that we can rely on. That God's word that can be trusted. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And that means that God's word is true. That means that we can depend on every single part of his word. It means it can be relied on. It can be trusted. We can trust what we read. We can trust what we hear preached if it's in line with God's word. And because it remains, we can trust in its power. Its power to change lives, to change our lives, to help us grow. The living and abiding word that the Holy Spirit takes and applies in our hearts. If you have your Bibles, open them, turn with them, with me, I should say, to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Excuse me. Hebrews chapter 4, looking at verse 12. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says this: For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Do you believe that? Do you believe in the power of God's word? Do you believe in the power of his preached word? Do you believe that God's word has power to save people, to feed people? I'm not sure we always do. Do you seek to come to make the most of and hear the God's word unpacked, explained, brought to you, presented to you through the preaching of the word? Or do you treat God's word like a piece of exercise equipment? Do you know what I mean? Piece of exercise equipment. Throughout New Zealand, in many bedrooms and many garages, are lying dormant pieces of exercise equipment. Now, they may have had a bit of a resurgence over the past couple of weeks as people have dragged them out and seek to get themselves fit and the like. But the time is coming when it will. Excuse me one moment. Someone's just bringing me a glass of water to go with the one that I have on the desk. But thank you. Thank you. That's great service. Thank you. We can treat God's word like exercise equipment. It sits there dormant, and yes, it's maybe having a resurgence at the moment, but there will come a time again where it's going to sit again, lying, gathering dust. Hanging on, being an expensive clothes hanger. That exercise cycle, that treadmill, that step master or whatever it is. Is God's word like a piece of dormant exercise equipment for you? That you remember occasionally, and that when you feel a little bit guilty, you bring it out again and have a little go for a while, but then you drift away? How does your attention to God's word, your attendance to God's word preached, your diet, your devouring of God's word, how does that say about how much you value, how powerful you see the living and abiding word of God? Do you see it as powerful? Do you see it as life-changing? You see, hearing God's word preached, reading God's word, but especially God's word preached, is not just simply about filling our head with knowledge, just learning interesting facts. No, it's God's word working powerfully in our life. God's word bringing us to action. And that's our third and final point this afternoon. We've seen that God's word regenerates. God's word remains. It is powerful for our lives, bringing us to Jesus Christ, but also helping us to grow. But the Apostle Peter makes an application, and that's our third and final point. And that final point is that God's word should lead to love. We circle back to the beginning, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, looking there at verse 22. What is the effect that God's word should have? How does God's word work? Well, the Apostle Peter makes one application, and this isn't the only application that could be made, but it's a valid and a good one for us to consider this afternoon. One way that we can see God's word at work. Verse 22 says this: having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for sincere brotherly love. Having your souls regenerated by obeying the truth. The truth there is the word of God. That's another word that is used for God's word, the truth. And it's clear from the context that Peter is referring to God's word. What does Peter say it looks like? What does God's word in our lives in action look like? It looks like love. God's word should make a difference in our life. It produces love. We should reflect the love of God through Jesus Christ as God's word works in our lives and in our hearts. The result of God's word being living and active in us should result in our loving each other. Note the kind of love that he's talking about here. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart. That's not always that simple. People can be unlovable. If we're really honest with ourselves, we'd say that we can be unlovable. But God's word at work in our lives calls us to show a sincere love. The word here in the original language has to do with not showing any hypocrisy. One way of not loving sincerely would be to speak nicely about someone, to talk to them and face to face, but then to go away and gossip about them or talk them down to someone else. Be all pleasant and smile and with the person, but then grumble as soon as they leave. It's a sincere love, but it's also an earnest love. We came across this word a couple of weeks ago. A love that is pulling out, called to pull out all the stops. A liberal love, a love that shows no favorites. A love that's not half-hearted, but full-hearted, overflowing. Are we loving like this, brothers and sisters? Are we showing this love to all of our brothers and sisters in Christ? Does that mean that you can have a deep and intimate relationship with every single person in the church? No, it doesn't mean that. You're naturally going to have some relationships that are deeper with others, but with some and not with others. But that doesn't mean that we don't show God's love to all. I hope you can see the difference this afternoon. We are to show love to everyone, a sincere love, an earnest love. Are you seeking out people? Are you showing love to all of your brothers and sisters in Christ? It's easy to show love that we consider to those who we consider lovely, but what about those who we consider unlovely? What about those who we find it difficult to love? How can you show love this week? Who can you reach out to? How is God's word challenging you this afternoon to show love to others? We've heard the challenge to show earnest love. That's God's word working in your heart this afternoon, working in my heart, challenging me to think, to consider how I show love to others. It's an example of God's word working, God's living and abiding word working in our hearts. It's a challenge to us this afternoon to dive deep into his word, to hear his word preached, to allow his word, to pray that his word would penetrate deep into our hearts and expose the sin in our lives, expose where we need to change, but also to heal, to mend, to put together hearts that are broken. Let's trust his word. Let's see and be reminded again this afternoon that his word is powerful, living, and growing in our life. Let's trust in the power of his word. Words on a page? No. Much more powerful than that. A living, an abiding, a growing word. Let's pray that God's word will penetrate deep into our hearts. Let's pray for our preachers. But let's also pray that God's word will penetrate deep into the lives of those who we're praying for. That they too may be regenerated, that they may go from being dead to being alive in Jesus Christ. To grow so that his word may lead to love in their lives. God's word has power for life, for new life, for eternal life, and it has power for love. Let's praise his name for his word given freely to us this afternoon. Amen. Please pray with me. Gracious, glorious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your abiding word. We pray this afternoon for the preaching of the word especially. Work it in our hearts. Challenge us. Lord, may we not be like that person who looks in the mirror and then forgets what they look like, but rather may your word call us to action. And the particular action we've been called together to look at this afternoon is how we show love. Lord, that can be challenging for us here in the situations we find ourselves in as families. It can be challenging for us as a church. Lord, we pray that your word and the love of Jesus Christ may penetrate so deep into our hearts. We praise you that you've given a word that is powerful, a word that regenerates, makes us alive, but also feeds us and nourishes us, that your word is true and secure, and that we can trust in every single word of your word. Work your word in our hearts this afternoon. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said together, Amen. Well, thank you, folks, for joining us once again this afternoon. We go this afternoon with God's blessing from Numbers chapter 6. May the Lord bless you in this week to come. May he bless you as we wait expectantly to see what our government is going to do. But regardless of what happens and what's announced tomorrow afternoon, brothers and sisters, God is still in control. He loves us. He knows us. He walks with us. But hear God's blessing to you this afternoon. The words of Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face towards you and give you peace. And all God's people said together, Amen. Have a wonderful and blessed week.